Today's gospel reading is from Luke chapter 22, verses 22 through 38. Jesus is presented in the temple. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow, the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with a fasting and a prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Almighty God, as we begin this season of Advent, remind us again that in the midst of our darkness, you are bringing us peace to calm our anxious spirits and hectic lives. Turn our hearts again toward you. Make us ready to receive your Son, our Savior. Slow our pace and give us the blessing of feeling your peace in our spirits. For this we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, where were you when? Every generation has its "where were you when" question about some cultural seismic event. Where were you when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon? Where were you when you heard that JFK had been shot and killed? Where were you on 9/11? Where were you during the Sandy Hook elementary school shootings? Now, many of us here may not be old enough to remember all of those events, but we may all have a new one that we can share. Where were you when you first realized the COVID Delta variant was for real? Moments like these are big. They change things. There's no going back. Culture shifts. Our lives are never the same. Unfortunately, most of these events tend to be negative events, catastrophes or tragedies. They strike with no warning and introduce a new sense of uncertainty into our lives. Sound familiar? And we all thought that 2020 was a once-in-a-lifetime event. Wrong. 2021 has brought its own list of unexpected events. Another year of even more uncertainty. And now we're all waiting with bated breath for 2022. Right? Omicron variant? As a result of all these disruptive events, there was actually a new word added to our lexicon last year, It's the word doom scrolling. It's when you scroll through your news feed on your phone, just thumbing through the headlines that are filled with doom. With all that's been going on in the world, it's enough to sink anyone into depression. Now, doom scrolling is not something you want to do before you go to bed. But I think we'll all agree that in many ways, it has been another year of missed expectations, some disappointment, and continued uncertainty. By the way, I'm not trying to bring us down here, just the opposite. But the reality is that we've all been living for quite some time, and it's been another tough year. If there's ever a year we need Christmas, this is it. If there's ever a year we need hope of Christmas, this is it. If there's ever a year we need Christ, this is the year. So here we are on the first Sunday of Advent, and in just a few weeks, it'll be Christmas. This is a season of hope. Advent is all about hope. The word Advent means coming or arrival, and the season is traditionally a time of expectation, waiting, anticipation, and longing. Advent is not just an extension of Christmas. It's a season that links the past, the present, and the future. Advent offers us the opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate his birth, and to be alert for his second coming. Advent looks back in celebration at the hope of fulfilled in Jesus' coming the first time, while at the same time looking forward in hopeful and eager anticipation to the second coming of Christ's kingdom when he returns to his people. During Advent, we wait for both. It's an active, assured, and hopeful waiting. Far too often, our Christmases have become frenzied and overwhelmingly busy. We often jam-pack our schedules with way too many seasonal chores. Digital stores and brick-and-mortar stores start displaying Christmas decorations and pushing merchandise now even before Halloween. Our season of peace is quickly overloaded, and it becomes a season of stress. But Advent is an opportunity to set all of that aside. Advent is a time to prepare our hearts and help us direct our focus on a far greater story than our own, the story of God's redeeming love for the world. It's not a season of pretending to be happy or covering up the pain or hardships we may have experienced during the past year or we may be continuing to experience. It is a season of digging deep into the reality of what it means that God sent his Son into the world to be Emmanuel, God with us. It's a season of expectation and preparation, an opportunity to align ourselves with God's presence rather than just that hectic season of gift giving. So, wherever you are in your level of 2021 anxiety and uncertainty, or wherever you are on your own spiritual journey, I invite you this Advent season. May I suggest that in the craziness and uncertainty and continued pandemic of this year, we've been given a gift. We've been given the opportunity to rediscover Christmas. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to be exploring the attributes of Christ encapsulated in his birth and the Christmas season. Hope, peace, joy, and love. And on Christmas Eve, we will celebrate the arrival of Jesus, the Christ. Today, we begin with this rediscovering the hope of Christmas, even when we are surrounded with uncertainty. As we explore these themes of Advent over the next 4 weeks, we'll see how they relate to and are exemplified in different characters of the biblical Christmas story. And I want you to realize that the people who live during today's scripture reading had it pretty bad themselves. Yes, some of you may think that it's pretty bad today, but you know, so did Israel have a tough time back in those days. And they could make a pretty good case during the time of Jesus when they, like most of the world, was a defeated nation under the thumb of the Roman Empire. It was a harsh day to live in, a time of conquest and brutality. It had been thousands of years since the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the calling out of God's people. It had been thousands of years of being invaded and conquered by enemies like the Assyrians and the Babylonians, and then the massive empires of the Greeks and Romans. It had been generations and generations since the formation of God's covenant with humanity, promising a Messiah to make things right, to bless humans and restore all that we humans had messed up since God's perfect creation. The fulfillment of God's covenant and the coming of the Messiah would come to make everything right wasn't just a happy idea that drifted in and out of the Israelites' consciousness and culture. It was, in fact, their deepest hope that sustained them and encouraged them and spurred them on, especially through thousands of years of uncertain waiting. They clung to God's promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. But how long, O God, was the cry of the ancient Israel people? And how long can hope survive, especially under the world-changing forces of the Greek and Roman empires, whose cultures still influence us today? Were there any embers of hope left smoldering? As we see today in Luke's biblical Christmas story, the answer is yes. Spoiler alert, Jesus the Messiah is born at that first Christmas. Now, I know that's no surprise, but I'm telling you that because I'm going to pick up Luke's narrative in an unusual place. Most of the time, we end our Christmas story narrative with Mary and Joseph and Jesus in the stable. The shepherds come and visit and go back to their flocks. Sure, we sneak in the Magi into the Nativity, because for us, it's much more convenient to get everybody together for one last group photo in the Christmas pageant. We all sing Silent Night, and then we roll the credits. And okay, Luke's Christmas narrative does end the night of Jesus' birth with the shepherds' departure. Not with the three kings, by the way. But the next ongoing scene in Luke's story comes right after that. And I'd like for us to look back a little more closely at that scene, and specifically its characters, Simeon and Anna. Simeon and Anna were sparks of hope in Israel. More than that, they were torches of hope, expecting God to come through and do what he had promised. They believed this. They were waiting for this. Both Simeon and Anna are likewise elders in this story. They have both lived long lives. They have been seen and experienced many things, both hardship for their people and pain in their very own lives. We know Anna specifically had been a widow for decades, a position of low social status in that culture. But we know both Simeon and Anna have remained faithfully devoted to God. They are ready to see God act and for God to do great things. In Luke chapter 2, verses 28 through 30, it says, Simeon took the baby Jesus in his arms and praised God. Lord, I am your servant, and now I can die in peace because you have kept your promise to me. With my own eyes I have seen what you have done to save your people. Simeon says, now I can die in peace. With my own eyes I have seen your salvation, the baby Jesus Christ. And it says about Anna in Luke 2, verses 37 and 38, night and day she served God in the temple by praying and often going without eating. At that time, Anna came in and praised God. She spoke about the child Jesus to everyone who hoped for Jerusalem to be set free. Did you notice in Luke's account that neither Simeon nor Anna seem to be in the least bit surprised or uncertain about the fact that this baby, Jesus, is the long-promised Messiah. Almost everyone else in the Christmas story so far has needed a little convincing about the whole arrangement. Now, granted, many of the others had an angel appear with a heavenly announcement, and it caught them off guard, if not made them completely terrified at first. Maybe God knew that Simeon and Anna, at their ages, just might have heart attacks if an angel appeared. But I think it's more than that. I think God didn't need an angel to get the message to these two great faith giants, Simeon and Anna. They were ready. They were tuned in, waiting, watching, listening, expecting. They were filled with hope, and that hope made them ready. Day after day, year after year, Simeon and Anna had served God faithfully, inspired and fueled by the hope that God was at work, even though they couldn't see it. Even if they were surrounded by hardship, even as time passed, as they grew older and older, Simeon and Anna still held on to their hope. And they fostered new and renewed hope as they set their focus on God, worshiped him, serving others, taking one step faithfully at a time as they waited. So they might have said, of course God came through. This is what he said he would do. The Messiah is here. And they rejoiced and celebrated and infused new hope into the people around them, including Mary and Joseph, who were still trying to figure out just what it meant to be the earthly parents of God's son, Jesus the Messiah. Simeon and Anna reveal several things about hope and its power that we can take away for ourselves and apply to our own lives. Number one, hope sees beyond. Hope is the fuel of faith and dreams and possibilities. Hope is that whisper of maybe, just maybe. It's the spark in the cold darkness that catches flame. It's that flicker of first light on a new morning. No matter how bad your year has been, no matter what kind of problems and struggles you are facing right now, no matter what kind of season of darkness and pain you are in, let me encourage you not to abandon hope. Hope is still alive, even our deepest pain and most hopeless circumstances. Hope chases away the darkness and uncertainty. Hope is alive because God is with us. Romans 8 is a well-known chapter in the Bible. But there's a section of that often gets overlooked. In this chapter, Paul, the Apostle Paul, starts off clarifying that, quote, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Then he explains our relationship as God's children and what it looks like to live by God's Spirit. Then he shifts to our future when God will fulfill his work in us and restore all of creation. And here in Romans 8, verses 24 through 26, he says, for in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have yet, we wait for it patiently. And in that same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. He says, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what we have seen? Who hopes for what they already have? Who hopes for something they already see? You see, hope exists before reality comes to pass. So let's just say as an example, I have a $100 bill in my pocket, and today I'm going to give it to someone here at the service. Now, those of you who are online are probably thinking to yourself, maybe I should have gone in person to worship today. But in any case, you can hope with all your heart that I really have a $100 bill here in my pocket. And you can hope that I might take it out and give it to you right here on the spot. You can think about it. You can expect it. You can tell yourself to keep believing that this is going to happen. You can hope that you will be $100 richer walking out of this service today. But as soon as I give you that $100 bill, hope is gone. There's no need for it. What were you hoping for, you would already have. It's now reality. It already happened. But hope precedes our present reality. Hope, by its very nature, exists in the uncertainty before. It exists in questions, even in doubts, in that unclear sense of what is yet to come. But hope is the willingness and desire to believe beyond what our present circumstances are and the reality that is being presented to us. Now, I included the beginning of verse 26 in our Romans reading because I think it's very important. It says this, "In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness," because that leads us to our second point. God is with us here, now, and always. Friends, with God, there is no uncertainty. God knows your pain and challenges and your struggles. He is not taken by surprise when a new coronavirus mutated and spread and went global. He was not surprised when the economy froze and sunk. He was not surprised when you or your loved one received that dreaded diagnosis or that call in the middle of the night or heard those words that broke your heart or shattered your world or left you in confusion and uncertainty. He sees you, and he is here. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And this hope he delivers, this hope he embodied and fulfilled and brought into the world so long ago, this hope that he offers today is not a hope that he dangles before us, taunting us with it, just out of our reach. It's not a hope he expects us to conjure up as we struggle to capture in our own life's worst moments. No, this is a hope that he infuses within us. It's a hope filled and fanned within us by God's Holy Spirit, even in our weakness, even in our grim circumstance and deepest pain, when the faintest gleam of hope seems too far away or so impossible, when we feel too weak to carry on, when we feel our grasp slipping, or even the ability to try to hope, his Spirit is with us. His Spirit helps us to restore hope by reminding us of God's faithfulness and promises. His Spirit leads us into God's Word and the biblical reminders of all God has done for us and all he has promised to do. Our God, our Emmanuel, who is with us, has promised his people throughout history and us today messages of hope, including these from Jeremiah. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." From Isaiah, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Do you feel the hope leaping in these words? We are not alone, even in our loneliest and darkest moments. God has come. Our God is with us every step of the way. Let me share one last thought with you. Number three, hope inspires us to carry on. The Apostle Paul described the cycle of hope like this in Romans 5. He explains that because of Jesus, quote, "we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This hope from God's Spirit does not put us to shame. It will not let us down. it will not disappoint us. Instead, it gives us new and growing strength to see beyond the pain and confusion that is right in front of us. This empowering of hope reminds me of a story from the COVID-19 pandemic of 2020. Do you remember hearing about Englishman Captain Tom? In all the doom and gloom of the pandemic, Captain Tom rose as a hero, and a very unlikely hero at that. Tom Moore, now known as Captain Sir Tom Moore, because he was knighted by the Queen of England, is the 100-year-old man who single-handedly raised $40 million for the British healthcare system by walking 100 laps around his garden. That's right, 100 laps for his 100 years. What started as a challenge from his son-in-law to donate $1 per lap, that's technically, by the way, a pound in England, it went viral when his daughter posted the campaign on an online charity site. The news spread quickly, and suddenly this old World War II veteran, gripping his walker, wearing a navy blazer full of military medals, walking around his garden, became a national hero. Captain Tom Moore was an inspiration. What an amazing story. And Tom says that he wants to travel the world once the pandemic subsides. I hope I'm that spry when I'm 100 years old. But there's a great lesson about hope in this story. Listen to this. This is what Captain Tom told the reporters. Quote, "The first step was the hardest," he said. "And after that, I got into the swing of it and kept on going." The first step was the hardest. Isn't that true of the same thing for us? Isn't that true of hope? It can be so hard to lift our downcast, tear-filled eyes to look for that tiny spark of hope when we feel swallowed by our pain. It can seem so difficult to reach beyond our troubles to grasp our Lord's outstretched hand. It can feel so impossible to take that first step towards hope and when we are weighted down by our burdens. But when we receive the promise of hope in God's word, we find new strength. When we accept the power of hope granted to us in God's Spirit, we find new inspiration. When we focus on the power of hope embodied in the birth and life and death and resurrection and return and eternity of Jesus, we discover new strength to take that first step. And we keep on stepping and walking and maybe even running one step at a time. Hope inspires us. Hope emboldens us. Hope builds upon hope and keeps us going no matter what. So what is your next step of hope today? What is your next step of hope in this Advent season? So often, we as humans want to see what happens tomorrow. We want to know the future. We want to skip to the end of the story. Well, our lives just don't work like that. It's not a privilege we've been granted. But in Christ, we have been given the end of the ultimate story. In Christ, we have been given true life that transcends the pains of this earth and the brokenness of our present world. In this Advent season, we can find hope in the arrival and life of Jesus. We can draw hope from God's faithfulness in fulfilling his long-awaited promise of the Messiah. We can focus on the hope of God's continued work in and all around us that will one day take away even the need for hope as we realize the reality of God's full restoration. And in the midst of whatever life is throwing at us, we can experience the hope of God's Spirit within us, carrying us, strengthening us, emboldening us, and giving us the strength to take the next step that is before us. Friends, my invitation to you is to take a step towards hope in this Advent season. Hope is dawning. Christ is coming. Christ is returning again. Let's welcome it into our hearts and our lives every day in this season of expectation and hope. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, let your hope arise in our hearts. Lift up our eyes to see that you alone are where our hope comes from. Help us to shake off the anxiety, discouragements, and distractions that have filled this year. May we pause to remember that we have hope in you. We know the end of our stories, and we give thanks because you have promised that it will be a victorious ending. Give us the grace we need to wrap up this year joyfully. We invite your spirit into this beautiful Advent season. Renew our sense of holy anticipation. Let us be those who are waiting eagerly for Jesus to come again. More than anything, we ask that you be glorified in this season of expectation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.